Assalamualaikum, brothers and sisters. Just a few quick announcements. This Friday will be the first night of Laylatul Qadr, and it will also be the striking of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So please try to be here. And also Sunday will also be the second night of Laylatul Qadr, which will be the Shahada of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Tuesday will be the last night of Laylatul Qadr. So please try to be here and take advantage of these nights. We won't get those same nights again. So definitely plan on being here. Also, Friday prayers will be here at this Friday at 1:30 p.m. So inshallah, please try to attend those as well. So with three lots of wads, please invite Sheikh Muhammad.
Surah Al-Fatiha. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Who is a helper and who is a problem is the subject. And you see, in analyzing the different people that Imam dealt with helps us to understand our own position in relationship to the truth and the haq. The fact is that haq, which is truth, in the words of the Prophet, we see that truth and Ali go side by side.
SubhanAllah.
He said, Al-Haq ma'al Ali wa Aliyun ma'al Haq. He said, the truth is with Ali and Ali is with the truth.
SubhanAllah.
Neither of them separate from each other. They are one and the same thing. And hence, those with Ali, we know are with the truth. Those who are not with him are not with the truth. And these characteristics that these different groups of people had are what we are trying to analyze to see who these different groups are and what these are. Now, let's dwell right into the subject as to the six groups that Imam Ali dealt with. The first group was the helpers, the supporters of Imam Ali, those who were with him, and those who died on his command. So these are the people who are in the first group. The second group of people are the ineffective and inept, lazy and dull. They were with Ali, but always lethargic and lazy to do anything for him. The third group are the sleepers, who are irrelevant. They are there, but have no attachment to anything. The fourth group that Imam Ali himself has described are known as the Naqisin, or the ones who broke the pledge. In other words, the renegades, the traitors. They made a pledge and they broke their pledge and went away from there. That is the fourth group. Fifth group are called the Qasidin. They are the criminals, lawbreakers, and hence these were the next group that Imam dealt with. Now, when we look at this, we see that the last group of people are the Ma'rikin. Imam Ali says are the Ma'rikin. These are the ones who broke off from the camp of Ali, and they are known for their naivety and simple-mindedness.
Allah Akbar.
Right? So, these are the six groups that Imam Ali dealt with. And hence, we will analyze these groups in the words of Imam Ali and how he described these groups, so that the qualities of certain people who are in these groups can come out to the fore, so that we can look in those characteristics and see ourselves and analyze our own self in that, in order to see our relationship to the truth. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Now, as you see, in these six groups, factions, we can divide these six into two groups. One group, which is the first group, and the rest of the five groups. The first of these six are the helpers of the Imam, those who helped and supported the Imam, those who were with him, and those who did jihad for him, they bled for him, they sacrificed for him. And the rest of the five, who were a nuisance from the Imam. I mean, the rest of the five, we will see, were not helpers of the Imam, even though they were with the Imam. They were more of a nuisance for the Imam. They were a problem for his cause and an obstacle for whatever he wanted to do. They were like a bad boil one has that is just a nuisance for him, and it just doesn't seem to go away. You have to deal with it because it's attached to you, but you want to get rid of it. And hence, these rest of these five groups fall into that category of people who were a nuisance for the Imam, and the Imam also let that be known. In fact, you see that Imam Ali alayhi salam faced many enemies, brave men in the battlefield. And the brave men, the warriors that he faced in the battlefield were such that would make people run away from the battlefield. In fact, people were awe-stricken, they were fearful of these warriors. Imam Ali faced them, not only faced them, but defeated them, and never complained about them.
SubhanAllah.
I never said, what kind of a test is this? He's too big for me. He's too strong for me. Never once did he say, or never once did he even insinuate that he is upset at this large size of the enemy. But you see that Ali, whose bravery cannot be matched and whose courage is unlike any other, that Ali, you see, complained to Allah about these people. They were such a nuisance for him and such a problem and an obstacle for him that you see that he complained about these people and in such a way that you can see it was heartrending, and it was something that you can see was grief-stricken when he spoke of these people. Inshallah, we will learn that as the time comes. And these, you see, different groups of people are there for us to analyze ourselves as opposed to them. We're not here to just talk about them and make ourselves feel happy. A lot of times it does happen that, you know, when you want to praise someone that you like, for example, we praise Imam Ali, and it makes us feel good that we have done something good because we praise him. And then, you know, when we talk about the others, then as is the case, we are happy that we put them down. It makes us feel good. So here, it must be made clear that this discussion is not about us making ourselves feel good about something or not. What this discussion is regarding the fact that what are the characteristics of the people that are with the Imam, that are a help for the Imam, or that are a problem for the Imam, so that we can look at ourselves in the light of those characteristics, in the light of those qualities, to see ourselves and where we stand. Because these characteristics, as I said yesterday, they are living, they are alive, and they repeat themselves in history. That's why we learned history, to see ourselves in the character that is in history, that's recorded in history. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salam wa ali Muhammad.
And we see that there are many people that you see the Prophet also faced. And I said yesterday about like some of the groups that he faced or that he dealt with in his life. And the reason I chose Imam Ali and the people he faced was because, you see, the Prophet faced non-Muslims as well as Muslims. And he had problems from both sides. But you see, in the case of Imam Ali, the problems he had was not from non-Muslims, it was from Muslims.
Mm.
And since we are Muslims and it applies to us, so it's better that we see who these people are that are a hindrance for the cause of truth. What is the hindrance for the cause of truth and who are these people? So now when we look at them and we see the first group of people are the helpers of the Imam. Those who helped the Imam and those who were supporting the Imam. Who are these people? How did Imam describe them? What were his words in order to describe them? Now the word helper is not something that's only in hadith, it is frequently mentioned in the ayat of Allah. And this ayat I recited for you, and you will be hearing this every day, is in Surah As-Saff, the chapter before Surah Al-Jum'ah, which is chapter number 60. And in this ayat has come where Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, kunu ansar Allah, be the helpers of Allah. Ansar means helpers. And Allah is saying to believers that be the helpers of Allah. And hence we see that this command of Allah to believers is encouraging believers to the quality of being a helper. And we see that this is not a new thing. Even in the time of the prophets, there was always a group that helped the prophets, the imams. Every time you see the truth is there, there's always that little group that helps the representative of truth. And Allah mentions in the same ayat regarding, for example, He says, be the helpers of Allah like the disciples of Jesus or Isa, who were His helpers and who helped Him. So He gives the example of the helpers of Prophet Isa and says, be like them and help Allah. Obviously, here we need to understand what is helping means. What is helping means? What is this word and how do we apply it? Because obviously when He says help Allah, does it mean that Allah needs our help? If Allah is saying help Him, does it mean that Allah needs our help? We say, obviously the fact is Allah is needless of anyone. He does not need anyone's help. In fact, He is the one who helps us. So, when He's saying, help Allah, what does He mean? So, now understanding what is help and who is the helper. You see, just these two things and we will go ahead to understand who these people are. Help is, you know, the assistance you give with two things in mind. When the assistance is needed, and two, when it is asked for. You see, in order to be helper, in the Arabic word is nasir, in order to be a helper, there are two things that are required. One is that the help must be needed. Two is that the help must be asked for. So if it's not needed and asked for, this is not help. Meaning, for example, you know, I mean, let's say you are strong and I am also, for example, able. And you see that you want to bring a cup. So you're holding a cup, you can hold it, you have the power to hold it, nothing is bothering you. And you ask me, would you help me carry this cup? Now, I can say yes, and we both can walk with the cup. But then, it would be ridiculous because people would look at it that, why are you two holding the cup? And you say, well, he asked for my help, that's why I'm holding it. But he doesn't need the help. You see that? He doesn't need the help. If he needed the help and asked for it, it would be helping. But when he doesn't need the help and he asks for it, then this is not helping. So now, one, he needs the help. Two, if he asked for it, for example, I need help. Now there's a big, huge thing you want to carry. And you can't do it alone. So now in this case, you're trying to lift it. Now, you didn't ask me for help, but I go there to you and say, here, I'll also do it. You see, in this case, this is also not called help. This is also not called helping. Why? Because he never asked for your help. He was doing it. You see, even though he needed help, but he might have arranged someone else, he might have arranged something else, he did not have anyone. Until he doesn't ask for it, it cannot be help. So if you understood these two things must be applied to see when help can be applied to a situation. The word nusrat or helping, when can it be applied to a situation? What is the time can it be applied? When do you apply it? So in these two situations we need to see. One, there should be a need of help. Two, and there should be a question asking for help. When you see these two situations, then in that situation, a person can be called a helper. A person can be called a helper. So now what happens, when we look at Islam, and when we look at Allah, we see Allah says help. So now, when we see how do we help Allah, do we help Allah? That would not make sense because Allah doesn't need help. So this wouldn't be help. So what does Allah mean when he says help Allah? You see, what does Allah mean when he says help Allah? So here we see that there are certain things we have no control over, which is Allah. Allah is beyond our help. He doesn't need our help. He is the one who helps us. Now, how do we help Allah? In what regards do we help Allah? There are certain things that Allah has left amongst us. There are certain things Allah has left amongst us. In those things, Allah needs our help. What is that? Obviously, need also is not the right word. Allah wants us to help them in order that we can be helped. What are those things? One, Allah does not need our help, but He left His book amongst us, which is Quran. Allah does not need our help, but He left His Prophet and Imam amongst us. Allah does not need our help, but He left His religion amongst us. Allah does not need our help, but He left His house amongst us. So when Allah is saying, help me, it means help Allah's book, help Allah's representative, help Allah's house, and help Allah's religion.
SubhanAllah.
So now, when does the cause of Allah need help? Understand this. When does the cause of Allah need help? When we say to help the cause of Allah, when does it need help? Two things must be there again. One, it must need help. Two, it must ask for help. Two things have to be there. This is the reason why you see that the time for need is when you see that a thing is not able to support itself. You help someone when they're in need. They're in need when they cannot support themselves. When the deen cannot support itself, then the deen needs help. If the deen, the religion can support itself, it doesn't need your help, it needs your service. See, it needs your service, it doesn't need your help. So when did the religion need help? It was at that time when it could not support itself. It was so small that it could not support itself. It was so young, it could not support itself. It was so little that it could not support itself. That's the time you see the Prophet asked for help.
SubhanAllah.
The Prophet asked for help. So at that point, whoever helped him became a helper. And at that point, those who did not help him, they lost the chance, the opportunity to be a helper. So at that point, we see he asked his uncle Abbas, that would you help me? Abbas said, I'm busy. He said, I'm busy. Then he went to another uncle, Abu Talib. He said, would you help me?
SubhanAllah.
Even though it's dangerous, would you help me? He said, with the last drop of my blood, I will.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. That's right.
You see that? So, here you see who becomes the helper and who does not become the helper. When you are asked for help, then you see the help must be given. And this is the reason when he asked in the first invitation of Islam, where he invited his relatives, and he made the first invitation of Islam to the world, to his own relatives at first, he said, the first thing he announced to me is that, who will be my aid and my helper in this cause? You know, no one accepted it. The only one who did was a 10-year-old boy named Ali.
SubhanAllah.
It was a 10-year-old boy named Ali who said, I will be your helper. I will be your supporter. So you see, at that time Islam needed help and the Prophet asked for it. Both of the situations were there. Imam Ali accepted it. In other words, he became the helper of Islam.
SubhanAllah.
You see, right. He became the helper of Islam. So help is given when the whatever you're giving help to cannot support itself and is asking for your help. So Islam, if it's at an infant age, for example, once Islam grows and becomes strong and people, they start helping, they start doing all kinds of things for it, Islam doesn't need your help. Then whatever you give for Islam is a service for Islam, not a help. You serve Islam, you don't help Islam. You help Islam when it's in need. When it's in need, that's when you come forward, because that's when true character will be known. You see, it's like this, you know, you, for example, go to a Islamic center. The Islamic center is small. It is little. It is young. So what happens is that when you come, you see that because it's small, little and young, it's in need. And since it's in need, you see, people who come forward at that time to help obviously have to sacrifice more. Because their help is known by how many people? The 18-20 people who come there. Right? 18-20 people who come there. They don't know him. No one else knows him. But now you go to a big Islamic center and there are 1,000 people. And now when you go to a center of 1,000 people and you give something there, now 1,000 people know you and your name is written in their newsletter. And maybe on their wall also. As a big donor. Right? And hence what happens is that here you're giving, this is not wrong in giving. But you see, that place that has the 1,000 people in it, and it's rich, and everything is there, they don't need that donation they give you. If you give it to them, it's a service to them. But it's not a help to them. The help will be in that situation where the help is needed. And hence, by giving help, by being a helper, what Allah means is having that character that doesn't look for anything else when it is giving and when it is helping. The only thing it looks for is the pleasure of Allah. And that opportunity doesn't come often. So that's why you see, helpers, being a helper means that helping the Imam at that time when he needs help. So that requires a certain character, my brothers. And if you see the Quran, Allah encourages people to be helper. Allah gives respect and honor to those who help, as opposed to those who are helped. Understand the difference. Those who help have honor and respect. Those who are helped, they do not have that respect or honor in the eyes of Allah. That's why Allah encourages people to be helpers, not the ones who are helped. Understand this? Allah wants people to be helpers. That's why He says, "Kunu ansar Allah." He says, "Be the helpers of Allah." He didn't say, "Be those who are helped by Allah." Everyone is helped by Allah, be it Muslims or be it non-Muslims. Everyone is helped by Allah. But the ones who help Allah is a special character, a personality one must have. That will make, because what happens is this, when you help someone, when you become a helper, the characteristic that makes you a helper is one thing. And understand this, one thing that changes the characteristic. What is that? When a person can go from focusing and thinking of and just emphasizing his problems to Allah's issues and starts to focus on Allah's issues and to see the higher issues, then and then only can this person become from a person being helped to a person helping.
SubhanAllah.
As long as a person is selfish in the sense that his problems are the important thing in life. I have this problem, that's it. I have to solve it no matter what. I have this problem, that's it. He will always be someone who will be helped. He cannot be a helper. When he gets out of that mode and ignores his problem and emphasizes the issues that are important for Allah's cause, then he goes from a person being helped to a character that helps. This is how you get out of that. So in order to be a helper, one must have that characteristic in him, that his problems are irrelevant to him. Allah's issues and the issues of Allah's deen are what's important for him.
SubhanAllah.
When his mind turns to that, then you see he becomes a helper of Allah.
SubhanAllah.
And Allah wanted helpers. Allah said, "Be helpers." So being a helper meaning having this characteristic in you that you are thinking of my cause, not your problems.
SubhanAllah.
And my brothers, just one little thing here I want to mention. When you get to that level of helping Allah, being a helper, having that personality and characteristic of being a helper, it means that your focus is now on Allah's deen, not on your problems. Here you see Allah wanted us to just have this much wisdom in ourselves to understand that Allah helps His enemies. Even those who are his enemies, who hate him, who curse him, Allah takes care of them. And Allah just wanted us to have that much wisdom. That when Allah can help you, when you are not helping him, how is it that he can leave you when you are helping him? Really, how can he leave you when you're helping him? In other words, when you help Allah and help his cause, Allah knows that you are now worried about Allah's cause, not your problem. So Allah is saying, you worry about my cause, let me worry about your problems.
Takbir!
Allahu Akbar!
Let me worry about your problems. Allah is saying that I help all those who hate me. How can I not help those who help me?
Subhanallah.
Imagine that. Allah is saying, have this much wisdom in you. So in other words, my brothers, helpers are at a certain personality, certain character. Those who help, they have a certain character, and you see it from their mindset, that their emphasis is never on their problems. It has gone beyond that. And now their emphasis is on the cause of Allah and the issues that face Allah's cause. That is, when you come to that level, then you see what does it mean and how it happens. Allah emphasized, be the helpers. And the Imams also. You see, Imam Hussein, you know, on the day of Ashura, when he made his call, who did he ask for? And did he ask for helpers, or did he ask for people who should be helped? Hal min nasirin yansuruna. Is there any helper who would help him? He's asking for helpers, not people who he needs to help. And when we come to Allah, or when we come to the Imam, our attitude with them is that they should help us.
Wow.
See, when we are thinking that they should help us, then we are not helpers of their cause. We are the ones seeking their help. They're not saying, no, we won't help. But they are just trying to tell us to think about our own self, who we are. When they said, Hal min nasirin yansuruna, he's asking for a helper. Not someone who's coming to him and says, Imam, I need your help. Imam, I need your help. Everyone, Imam is ready to help. Everyone Allah is helping. But you see, they are looking for, in the believers, helpers, characters that look beyond their own problems to the situation that the deen of Allah is facing.
SubhanAllah.
This is what they look at. And that is what we need to be in order to be helpers. This is the reason, the emphasis on helping, on being a helper. That is a character that one must reach. If you want to be a helper, you must reach that character. You want to know what it means to help. That's the character one has to reach. And then you will see what it means. The Imams are looking for helpers. When we make dua, that for example, oh Allah, make us the helper of the Imam, he is looking for a certain character that approaches the Imam with the intention of helping him, not being helped by him. And you see that for those people who go there, right, to the ziyarat, when they go for ziyarat and they go to visit the graves of the Imam, they go there asking for help. Imam help me, Imam help me, Imam help me. Nothing wrong with it, but Imam is looking for believers who are coming to help the Imam.
SubhanAllah.
Is there anyone who goes to the grave of the Imam and says, Imam, I'm here to help you. I'm here at your service. I'm here to help you. Tell me what I should do. Those are helpers. Those are the people that the Imam is looking for and he knows are going to stand by him for his cause. Those are the people. This is where we need to get out of and come to that position. So inshallah, tomorrow I'll explain more about these helpers of the Imam and how he describes them in his own words about their attributes and how you know these people.
Inshallah.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. To give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Alright, so any questions?